It's 12:36, so this is the voice you guys get.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you guys for tuning in to Elephant in the Room podcast.
Elephant in the Room.
What's up, guys?
Welcome to Elephant in the Room, where no topic is taboo. So, welcome back to our show.
Yee.
So, I hope you guys have enjoyed the last two episodes.
They've been fun.
Yeah, they've been super fun. And thank you to everyone who's given us constructive criticism or feedback on the past episodes. We're still learning. We're definitely still trying to get into the flow of things, figure out our dynamic.
There was definitely an awkward music pause in the last one. If you didn't hear that, go back and listen to it. It's pretty great. But yeah, all the criticism and the praise that we get, we just take that and just kind of consume it and try to learn for each week. So thank you guys for that.
Yeah, so thank you guys so much. And the topic for this episode is going to be, well, the title will be Follow the Leader. Yeah. But the topic specifically talks about the lack of diversity in leadership within the church.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did was we wanted to kind of include our listeners in more, and even people who don't listen and just wanted to go ahead and answer and participate mm-hmm. in the question I put out on Instagram, which actually Elephant in the Room has an Instagram now, and we'll give that handle at the end of the podcast. But the question I asked was, do you feel as though the church lacks diversity in leadership? And we got quite a few answers, and we kind of just picked out the ones that were more detailed. I will say that a lot of people answered yes.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people did give one-worded answers, but
yes, that's
just
how
yes.
I feel.
But which is awesome, because I feel like it also does show where people like which side of the what would it be called
coin,
I guess, they're on. And so one of the first answers was, I think that churches started by predominantly white leaders is, sorry, I'm going to say that again because I literally just skipped through that. She said, I think that within those churches, they were started by predominantly white leaders. And I feel like it's hard to bring in a whole new set of leadership, and probably also feels awkward to do that too. Maybe because I'm from California or very sheltered here in the Inland Empire, it just doesn't seem like there is a lot of racial segregation within the church, probably as much as other places, so it's hard to feel the gravity of the issue. Before we continue, I just want to say we're not going to put out anybody's name.
Yeah, so you guys can feel free to answer questions in the future.
Right.
I'm not going to put anybody on blast.
It's anonymous.
So we just want you guys to feel comfortable answering, because, you know, like the heart, like we said from the beginning, the heart of the podcast is for everybody to kind of just, you know, just kind of come together and share what's on their heart, and then finding unity through that. So mm-hmm. with that disclaimer, let's go into this point. I really feel this point more than I thought I would, because like I told you before, babe, that we live in kind of that melting pot kind of, you know, city and state, where California and New York, I feel, are like a little bit of Florida, but they have mostly like Hispanic influences, kind of Caribbean too. But I think New York and California have like a lot of cultures just kind of mixed in there, where we might not feel the gravity of an issue of lack of representation as much. We may feel it, and I'll definitely share a little bit more of how I felt it in certain instances, but we may not feel it as much, maybe, like, you know, as like maybe churches in the South or on, you know, East Coast, or places where are predominantly there's not a lot of people of color
mm-hmm.
Necessarily in the demographic. So I really feel that point, where also I'll say it leads me to say where we shouldn't take that as like, I'm cool and comfortable. Like, you know, there's still people that need to be represented in other areas and we should still push for that. Mm-hmm. And even in our own comfortableness, we shouldn't stay comfortable. We should always push for a broadness of representation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like I'm not too sure how I feel about this, but I took an African American music class at Pasadena City College. Mm-hmm. And I had a super dope professor. He taught at Long Beach State, and he's actually from the South. Mm-hmm. And he said that we on the West Coast are a little bit more advanced in the sense where there isn't as much racism out open publicly.
Yeah.
Without there being, it's like it's not in your face.
Yeah.
But he said there is still a lot of hidden racism, and there's definitely a lot of the consequences of racism that are still existing within mm-hmm. California. I don't think that it's, I think we're fortunate in the sense where it's not as bad as other parts of the United States.
Yeah.
But I think it still exists, and I think that we almost become blinded to it because there's a lot of different kinds of people in California, specifically Southern California, a mm-hmm. lot of different people groups, doesn't mean that we're all
represented equally
in this one melting pot where there's like a bunch of different races living in one city. I feel like there's still a lot of segregation within cities, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So because of that, I think that because there's still segregation within cities, there's still segregation within churches because, well, I don't know, like, for example, in a lot of suburbs, there's a lot of white people. So a lot of the churches you go to in the suburbs are going to be predominantly a white congregation. Mm-hmm. And then when you go more into the inner city, there's more Latino, Black community, sometimes Asian. And so you kind of see these little almost like sacks of, oh, this is the quote unquote like Black side of LA, so there's yeah. more predominantly Black congregations, and then mm-hmm. the Latino, and then the Asian. So I think maybe just because there's a diversity within our state as a whole doesn't mean that our communities are as diverse. So
yeah, I just like, I think the one thing that I'll kind of rebuttal you on is the point isn't that like there's not this lack of, you know, real togetherness and real unity, and also, you know, it's not like not being I don't want to say ignorant, but not being blind enough to say, oh yeah, we're totally like a melting pot, we're all get to, you know, we're all one big happy family. But it is saying that it's like the professor said, you know, it is a little more advanced than, you know, other states, but and it's not as blatant, I think, is what I was trying to say. You know, there's not the blatancy to like racism and separation. They do it on the low, which still sucks. But I think advances really are being attempted to be made.
Yeah.
In communities, I feel.
Yeah, I think obviously we're, like we said, ahead of the game and in comparison to other places
yeah.
in the United States. But I feel like when this person said it just doesn't seem like there's a lot of racial segregation within the church, I feel like that's more of like, I guess, personal experience.
Yeah.
But when we begin to actually step outside of our own habitus and we look at what other people are going through personally,
yeah.
then we're able to put ourselves in those people's shoes and say, okay, actually we really need to work on that in this area.
You yeah. know
what I mean? So
yeah, and it's not just being okay with what is around us, but understanding that, you know, maybe our church has some kind of representation and they're making moves, but there it's not a whole thing.
Yeah. And so with that being said, the next point was actually, I thought it was really interesting. Mm-hmm. This person said, one, I think churches are not meant to be divided by race. All churches should be multicultural. Mm-hmm. Two, I think that the gospel... Actually, let's go the first point.
Yeah,
I think churches are not meant to be divided by race. All churches should be multicultural. I agree. But at the same time, there are certain churches that, for example, we have a lot of people that came from, I don't know, Mexico or Central America or South America that came to the United States, and they speak a specific language. Mm-hmm. And so they need to go to a church that
speaks their language.
That speaks their language and caters to their culture.
Yeah, definitely.
And we can't say like, oh, there shouldn't be... like all churches should be multicultural. I think that would be super awesome, but I mean, mm-hmm. Not all churches have the ability to be bilingual. I think I have seen one church in LA that does such an awesome job, mm-hmm. where I see literally Asian people, Black people, White people, Hispanic people all in one church, and that actually is a predominantly, like, it started off as a Latino Hispanic church,
mm-hmm.
but because they incorporated a translator and it's bilingual,
mm-hmm.
it's like a melting pot of people, and it's super dope.
They are like the United Nations translators.
Yeah, actually, like, and it's so cool for me to see because they're making an effort and a push for hey, let's include everyone in our church, because their mission and almost their goal for LA is to bring unity. And so, I mean, that would be super cool, but at the same time, it's not. I don't think it would work for people who don't speak the English language.
Yeah. With this point, I think of it as this. Like, I wish all the animals can live in one area. But, you know, predominantly we're going to find a sloth in the forest and a snake in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And there, you know. So it's like, you know, we're going to find a whale in the ocean. We're going to find a bird in the air. Some birds, you know, can get into the water. And, you know, I'm going really deep in this analogy. But
yeah.
What I'm saying is that, like you said, some people feel not only just more comfortable, but are just in a position where they can only accept. They can only receive, I'm sorry, in a certain... area, in a certain kind of niche, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So like they have to find that, or is it niche? I don't know. I've heard fancy people go niche and then niche. I don't really know, but but what I'm saying is like there's people that can accept things in a certain way. Like you said, if I only speak Spanish, I have to find a Spanish congregation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's predominantly going to be with Spanish people. Maybe there's like a white dude that speaks Spanish, or, you know, fluent Spanish, or, you know, an Asian dude that speaks fluent Spanish. But at the end of the day, it's you know, I don't feel like we're pushing for like there has to be a Black, there has to be a Hispanic, there has to be a white church. It's mm-hmm. like wherever there is a mesh of cultures, let's have leadership to represent those cultures.
Right. And that's why when I asked this question, I think I added for those churches, like when I said, do you feel as though the church likes diversity and leadership? But I said specifically the churches who claim to be inclusive and all that stuff, because I know that there's churches that are literally geared towards the Korean community, because they speak Korean, but they're Christians and they love Jesus, and they're like, hey, if you're Korean and you speak Korean, like, in your home, that's the language that you speak the most, come to our church, because we're gonna be able to accommodate to what you need, you know?
Yeah,
what I mean?
Like, there's a Greek church at the corner by my house,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, it'd be fantastic for me to go, but I wouldn't understand one thing, and I wouldn't feel represented, but it's not geared for me,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they're not claiming that it's like geared for
mm-hmm.
you know, people like of my culture. And it's like, I can't go and sit in the service and I can't believe nobody's representing the Hispanic community in this church. They're not geared. They're not claiming to be.
Right.
So this point was more so like, churches that do claim and are forefronting that claim of being diverse and being
mm-hmm.
Inclusive.
Yeah. The next point he said is, I think that I think that the gospel is more importantly than is more important than any political agenda, whether for the rights of others or not. If we seek transformation for the nation, it will come through bringing others to the revelation of the word, not by rallies or earthly passions. You can go ahead and give your quick input on that.
Quick input. Okay. I think that the gospel is more important than any political agenda. True. I just don't feel like inclusivity is a political agenda. Maybe I'm taking this point wrong, but...
You know what? I think he's answering the part about the Black Lives Matter.
Got you.
That's probably okay, what he's talking that's also, about.
Okay, okay. So we'll save that for another part.
Yeah, that's so there was a second part to my question. I asked two questions. I asked about the Black Lives Matter movement, and does the church talk about it enough?
Damn,
and
I almost also went asked, on this, went, on, went in on him. And
so actually, we won't. We'll, yeah, it's cool. Okay.
Forgive me.
Someone else answered, the church I go to has only male leadership. Usually women aren't valued as seriously as men are, unfortunately. Which, diversity includes gender, because I don't think this is, I mean, I think our topic was focused on race, but also I would like to say that we would like to see more, I mean, inclusivity leaders. Includes gender, race, and all those things that you want to, cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I think it's true for certain churches. I think it's super cool because the churches, after I left the first church that we grew up in.
The first church?
Yes, the church we grew up in together. I saw so many women leaders, and I thought that was super dope because it didn't seem weird to me. But I do know that there are people who still struggle with seeing women in leadership, and there are still people who attend churches that don't have women in leadership. Mm-hmm. And if they are in leadership, they kind of see them as lesser than the male figures.
And this point is a little, I think we've talked about this before. It's a little tough for me too because... Like for me, I already see women as strong and leaders, and it's never been hard for me to accept because of the example that I have of my mother and my sister and just the women I grew up around were always strong, and I always respected their leadership. Mm-hmm. You know, they were always leaders, and I've always seen women leaders, so that was never an issue for me. And that kind of to like the first point that we were addressing, you know, not being around that issue, yet trying to understand that it does happen elsewhere. So, you know, for me, it's like, it's simple. Mm-hmm. We need to accept women leaders because they have to offer. As a male, they have a different insight. They have a different view of how I view things because I think differently. And a woman leader is only going to be... an addition and a multiplication to my growing because they get to show me another side of things that a man may not think of because we think the same men, and so women think differently, and they can just cater to that thing that we lack.
Mm-hmm.
and it's a beautiful thing once we really accept that.
Yeah.
So that's where I get like kind of frustrated at, where it's like, man, it's kind of easy, let's just accept it because we have more to gain than what we have to lose.
Yeah.
All we have to lose is our pride, and we should be losing that regardless.
Yeah.
So.
For sure. I agree. The next person said, interesting. Not sure if this is a valid thought. Open parentheses, but I'm open for correction / insight. Close parentheses. But I would like to think that diversity in leadership is not based on the outward person, but more the inward. I pray to God that the church does not base leadership on skin color or gender. So in terms of quote-unquote lack, I think diversity does not play a role in it. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
So, I definitely believe that, I mean, her point on leadership not being based on outward but more inward is 100% true.
Yeah.
It's facts. I feel like as a leader, I should not look at what you look like, but I should look at what you, or I should go based off of what you carry. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so being a leader should be less about appearance and more about the inward, like she said.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, because of the lack of diversity within the leadership, I feel that sometimes people who may look different than those that are in leadership don't have that courage to step up as leaders because they haven't seen someone like them in that group of leaders at their church, maybe. Or maybe the leaders that are already in a part of the leadership kind of have more of a closed view as to who they're looking for as leaders. Because, I mean, we cannot deny the fact that there are people who have very closed-minded, very narrow views of who they're looking for in terms of leaders. Because that does exist. Like, I mean, like she said, I would like to think that diverse in leadership is not based... No, she put... Where is it? Or she said, I pray to God that the church does not base leadership on skin color or gender. But there are some churches that do. Like, we can't deny that. So...
Yeah, it's like, oh, we don't have a Hispanic female leader. Let's... Hey, you, the closest female leader Hispanic that we got, come be in leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas they might not be as... as equipped of a leader as maybe somebody that didn't necessarily feel that need that they needed at that moment for representation. You know what I'm saying? And I took this point, and maybe I took it from left field. So bring me back if this is really a monkey wrench.
Okay.
But leadership is you. Nobody can see you winding up your lasso to really...
Sorry.
Bring me back in. But so where I kind of took this is also leadership is not so solely based on the outwardly but on the inwardly. But I kind of took that also as who do I feel represented by? Because when I was gonna go into this, I'm glad this kind of fits here. Growing up, I grew up around everybody that looked like me. There was like, everybody was my culture. And all the leaders were male, mainly male, Hispanic leaders. But the problem was growing up, I was highly influenced by the rap culture. And that culture was highly influenced by the Black culture. And so with that influence, I felt like the people that influenced me the most were Black males, you know, for the most part. And of course I had my dad, and he was a part of that. He was one of my leaders. But, you know, when I remember I would get to church, and sometimes like I really wouldn't like feel like I was being influenced by the leaders that they had in place. And there were people that I felt, you know, that could possibly be leaders in my life. And they were coincidentally just Black men that found their way to a Hispanic church. And even some Afro-Latinos that, you know, in the same way were influences in my life. And you know, I want to be careful when I say this. I never felt that they, and I don't want anyone to take this wrong, but I never felt like they got the same chance as if a leadership position opened up, boom, married Hispanic male, easily got it by a landslide. And, you know, where I felt like the people that I really felt could make an impact in my life had to like really toil and really be there and work and give their time. So, you know, it's not only representation of what is outwardly, but what impacts me inwardly. And nobody can really gauge that, nobody can really see that, but I think that's what causes us to really be and I'm gonna speak super Christianese for a second, so I apologize ahead of time, but we got to be really in tune with the Holy Spirit and what he's trying to tell us of who to appoint, because God knows who he's gonna put as a leader and why he's gonna put them. And those people are set there to impact. So if we're choosing leadership just because of what someone looks like, we're not paying attention to what the Holy Spirit is telling us to do, which we don't know why, but God knows why. So that was my whole thing. I hope I didn't take this for a circus ride.
It's okay. I literally have like I'm going to time myself on this 1 minute. I just want to say that it also falls on the leaders to, like you said, tune their ears into what the Lord is saying. And if they see someone that doesn't fit the look of all the leaders, mm-hmm. but they see just even a centimeter of, you know, the characteristic of leadership, why not nurture that, mm-hmm. and, you know, and water that so it can grow, mm-hmm. and take them under your wing and say, hey, I know that there's not a lot of people that look like you that are leaders, but I think that you have something that could, you know, make you a leader eventually, mm-hmm. and start picking people within your congregation to that you see that have that leader or that factor of what it is to be a leader, and say, like, come here, let's work yeah. on being a leader, let's nurture your leadership skills. And so that's what I wanted to say, and kind of to end the responses that people gave. This one says, I think segregation of churches are still a thing, which is why, and then insert the church that this person attends, is so monumental in the way they are multicultural. The religion of Christianity itself stems not from a multicultural place, but instead a place of control, manipulation, and a huge part of slavery. So, systematically, we are having to knock down a lot of walls in the church.
So, the point I had to that was, originally, Christianity was manipulated in the U.S. as a control system, which causes us to now have to break off the false sense of submissiveness that was used to limit potential leadership in people of color. So the origin of, Christianity and we're speaking U.S.,
mm-hmm.
Was basically that message of slaves submit to your masters, which they were using literally to enable, in order to squash any like hopes and dreams of, you know, any, young male or female of color, to think, oh, we can rise up, we're better than this. It's like, no, the Bible literally says, submit. So you got to submit, and you have no choice.
Mm-hmm.
So they twist it. And what we have to do now is break that off and, you know, see ourselves as leaders, and see ourselves as potential leaders, and mm-hmm. see ourselves that there's a gap there that needs to be filled. There's misrepresentation mm-hmm. or a lack of representation, and I'm called to fill that mm-hmm. and not allow the origination, I think I made that word up, but of
I didn't.
Oh man, I thought I was being Dr. Seuss. The origination of,
or maybe you did.
I probably did. It's okay. I do it all the time. I'm just gonna say the
origin. You didn't. The origination is the beginning or creation of something. So.
Word of the day, everybody. the origination of. Christianity in the U.S. to even be like this wall that stops us from pushing for more representation and asking for it or being that even.
Yeah.
So
that's good. So the next point that I want to talk about is one of the reasons why the United States lacks diversity within the churches is because of all of the denominations. And so if you don't know what denominations are, they're just different groups of different, almost like subgroups of Christianity. So it's like Christianity, and then there's like this little subgroup that is Baptist, or there's one that's Protestant, or there's one that's Pentecostal, or there's Church of God in Christ. There's so many different denominations. And within those denominations, they break off into churches who cater to certain people groups. Like we had mentioned earlier, there are Latino churches who cater to the Latino community because they need Spanish-speaking churches.
Mm-hmm.
There are churches that cater to the Asian community because they need people who speak whatever language that group of Asians speaks within their household. And so I feel like we can't knock them for trying to create a place where they feel that they can congregate and, you know, love the Lord with the way that they learned how to in their language. So I think that obviously we can't say, I want to see, you know, diversity and inclusivity. Like, I mean, I can't say I want to see an Asian guy in a Spanish speaking church and he doesn't speak Spanish.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be cool, but I mean, even though it seems like we're pushing for diversity or inclusivity, it's not going to benefit the church because they're not going to understand anything he's saying.
Yeah.
So, with that, I believe that our topic is more geared towards churches who claim to be inclusive yet lack diversity within the face of the church. So what I mean by that, for example, are huge influential churches that have these amazing worship leaders or worship teams that are all over the world. I mean, we're not going to mention any specifically because we don't want to put anyone on the spot, but a lot of the big contemporary Christian music worship groups are predominantly white. I mean, I look at the albums, I look at the group of people when they take pictures, and all of them are white, like mainly white. I know that there are some that have maybe that token person of color on their team, but I have yet to really see a group push for people of color on the face of their group, which, I mean, I don't necessarily think there needs to be a face because the face should be Jesus, but I mean, the people who are leading, who are up in the front ushering in the presence of the Lord, are usually white people.
Yeah.
And then we have the features, like for Black History Month, I know a church that decided, all right, like, let's get the black people who come in and sometimes help with background vocals or help us lead certain songs and get them to create a service for Black History Month that includes gospel music or whatever music you want to sing for Black History Month. And so they were like, all right, you're black, let's get you, and then just give them like that day, kind of almost like you can today lead, but for the 360 or however many days out of the year, it's going to be predominantly white. And so I think I would like to see more worship teams that are super influential, specifically CCM, because I know obviously we have Latino CCM that's for like all Spanish speaking worship songs, and then we have gospel, which is predominantly influenced by the black community, which is super awesome. But
just real quick to add to that, it's important to have those representations in those, you know, quote-unquote faces, although we're pushing to not have a face on, you know, just Jesus being the face. But it's important because, you know, you don't know what younger generation person of color you're influencing to push to be that, you know. And if you look up and you don't see somebody like you, you know, being a leader, you can only see yourself as being a follower.
Oh, definitely.
You know, and that's dangerous. And so what we want is, like, if you claim like inclusivity and even in that, we applaud those churches that are really taking strides and attempting to, you know, and saying that they're trying and they're doing, and even those that say, you know, but don't really do, we encourage them to really try and not do it just for to be politically correct or to be you know, liberal, to seem liberal, to attract more liberals, you know, just not to have an agenda, but to really in your heart really have that mindset of like, I want to be inclusive because I want to empower the next generation of, you know, different cultures other than mine.
Yeah, that's good.
So it's important for the younger generation, the little ones, to see, to look up and see leaders that look like them or that they relate to, you know, so that they themselves be encouraged to be those leaders.
That's good. What I'm saying. Yeah, that's good. To kind of end our podcast, we just want to give a fact. So people of color make up almost 80% of the U.S. Christian church, which that's a lot. That's like way more than half. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's just specifically blacks and Latinos. The website didn't specifically give the percentage of Asians.
Oh.
They did give the percentage of white, which was 70. Mm. But with that number, I mean, that kind of shocked me because it just goes to show how the church is predominantly in the United States made up of people of color, but there's still so much separation. And so I think that the younger generation is making an effort to have a diverse group of leaders and have more representation. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know I said we weren't going to mention any churches, but I would like to applaud Upper Room, because I think they're doing such an amazing job of including and having all people of just different races or genders, cultures represented on their worship team. I mean, they have Greek, they have black, they have Latino, they have white. That's like amazing to me. And the fact that they don't have a face, mm-hmm. they just,
that's even better.
That's just makes it even more like, it's again, it's not even about how we look, but hey, we do have somebody that looks like you that does worship the way that you want to worship, you know what I mean, which is super cool. And so what Gerardo and I kind of want to end with is we want to see older churches show humility in accepting the wrongs in which their leadership has been selected and put forth an effort to make corrections that bring forth an impact. So I know that there's also this new almost division between the older generation and the newer generation in churches. I see a lot of the younger generation kind of walking out of the older churches and being like, you know what, I can't do this, like, let's start our own church. That's why there's so many hipster trendy churches that you see in LA, because they're all geared towards our generation, millennials, and they are diverse, and that's super cool. But we definitely would like to see the churches who have more of an older congregation and even still have some younger people trickling within their church to really push for diversity and inclusivity. And so Gerardo and I would like to say, hey guys, like, let's keep breaking barriers and push for inclusivity.
Definitely. So that was our podcast for the day.
Yeah guys, thanks for tuning in. A couple of announcements. We, like I said earlier in the podcast, we do have our Instagram now officially for Elephant in the Room. Ooh, ooh, so that we don't use our personal now. Ones I'm anymore. So our Instagram is EITR podcast.
Mm-hmm. And that's Elephant in the Room.
Right. So podcast. Just the first letter of each word in our podcast.
Yeah.
So Elephant in the Room podcast. Mm-hmm. And if you guys already follow Gerardo and I, then we usually tag that Instagram account, so you guys can go ahead and click on follow and follow our account, so you can answer any questions, any polls that we put up for the next topics.
Definitely, we'd love to hear more of your guys' inputs, more answers to questions that we're going to put out. Mm-hmm. Even suggestions on things that you guys would like to hear, that would be great.
Yeah.
So that would be on there. And yeah, just also, like, any announcements that we do other than podcasts, episodes, maybe we'll, like, still that video that we got to do, a reaction video to our engagement, you know, stuff like that, we'll be trying to put on there too.
Mm-hmm. I just would like to say that you guys should definitely tune into the next episode, because we're going to talk about sex, which is a really
touchy
subject within the church. But you know what, that's what we're here for. The first 2 months I feel like we focused a lot in on culture and segregation and race, because those are also touchy subjects. We kind of wanted to break ground and establish.
We went right into it.
Yeah, we just wanted to say, you know what, this is, especially because me personally, that's what my heart breaks for and yearns for, and that's what I want to see is, you know, racial reconciliation. And, you know, I'm believing that it's going to happen, and also because February was Black History Month, so. So, yeah, stay tuned for that episode, and thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you guys next time.